All right. Back in chapter 7. Chapter 7, characteristics of breakthrough believers. Number 1, we said, moved ahead to pioneer a new move of God. Number 2, moved under pressure, under intense pressure to set the pace. Number 3, moved without compromise to deliver the unadulterated truth of God. Number 4, moved in progressive revelation to stay relevant. Number 5, moved under subjection to authority. Number 6, moved collectively and corporately towards destiny. And number 7, moved with a prevailing mentality to influence the community. Since Apostle mentioned about authority, and it's one of the ones on here, I want to start there. Spiritual authority, which is number 5. Number 5. But I believe, I think one of the reasons why, you know, he mentioned about that, because a whole lot of people don't understand real spiritual authority. And I think that we need to have an understanding of it before we can really do what we call to do. So the characteristic number 5, moved under subjection to authority. And he starts off by breakthrough believers have the ability to move under subjection to spiritual authority, breaking the spirit of rebellion and witchcraft while restoring honor for spiritual leadership function. An ability to yield to God's appointed and delegated leadership speaks of being submissive and teachable. And a whole lot of folk are not submitted or teachable because, I don't know, for some reason, I believe because we've not seen much of the apostolic in action. We have not seen, you know, we've read the book of Acts. We read, you know, the epistles, and we see the Apostle Paul, how he's moving as an apostle. But we really have not seen it functioning a lot in the church. And so what we've had is, if you be honest about it, what we've had is we've had a whole lot of people trying to be superstars. And in that, what has happened is every generation that came behind wanted to be superstars, right, because they thought that was what it's about. And so, I mean, I came through a period when I first started preaching. We used to do a lot of last seven sayings, and it was nothing but competition. The whole thing, it was competition, you know. And the thing about it was about who can get the people the most aroused. Which gave you a name around the city as, you know, some prolific preacher. And so it was about competition. It was about, really trying to make a name for yourself. And so I think that because we've had this kind of thing that has gone on for so long, and see, if is not corrected by the apostolic, the generations to come never will be able to walk in the power of God. Okay, so since we had this kind of thing, everybody was like their own individual persons. And so I know a preacher that could preach the horns off of Billy Goat, but his ministry has never gone nowhere because he has refused to submit to anybody. Because he feel like he the greatest. You understand? And so, matter of fact, I went preach for him, when I first started preaching. And then I went preach for him about 15 years later. And I went into the same church, the same restroom, and The paint was still flaking coming off the walls. I mean, the condition was, I mean, there was nothing that was done in that ministry for those 15 years that I had been. I mean, even down to holes in the carpet in the floor. And so now, sometime because people can have giftings, they think that that qualifies them where they don't have to really submit to anybody, and which is really a tragedy. And so what happens is generations grow up from one generation to the next generation. They see that and they think that this is the way to go. But that's not the way that God ordained it, because God ordained it. There's supposed to be somebody in your life that God has given them the authority. God had placed them in a place of authority to lead you. And you have to, watch this. Their agenda has to become your agenda. And if not, then if you still have your personal agenda, then guess what? God cannot promote you. What you would have to do is you would have to rely on yourself to promote your own. You have to promote your own self, because God is not going to promote that. Because and we've seen a whole lot of it. But as far as men really submitting to someone, spiritual authority submitting, there's so much rebellion. There's rebellion. You know, I mean, my own self, I'm being honest about this. I remember when I first started preaching, and I was at a church, and the pastor told me, say, look, whenever you're going to preach, come talk to me so, you know, I can let you know whether it's a good place to go and preach or not. I said, shoot, God called me. I ain't going to check with nobody. He said, I can go preach here. Call. I went to a church and preached, and I said, I got to use the restroom. They say, just go right over there through that door over there. I go back there. They got statues. They got candles burning. I get back there. I say, oh, my God, what is this? They got all kinds of statues back there and stuff. And then the lady, she comes in and she prophesies to me, say, St. Peter say to tell you. I said, my God, St. Peter, Lord have mercy. St. Peter still talking? What's up here? But it was because of my ignorance. Because of my ignorance, because I didn't realize that, hey, I needed that covering. I needed somebody to cover me. But again, I had saw that this was the pattern. This is how they did it. So unless this thing is corrected by apostolic authority and apostolic government, the church is not going to walk in her true power. Right. Y'all, I want you, okay, all right. Had this guy who I knew, and he was getting ready to become a bishop. And so, he had got into some things. You know, he had got some infidelity and some other things he had got into. So I talked to him. I said, you need to go talk to your spiritual father and see if he can help you out of this mess you're in, because you're really in a mess. And he said, well, if I did that, I'd get disqualified from becoming a bishop. I said, what's more important? You being right with God, or you wearing a title? His next words was to me, pray for me. And walked off. In other words, I don't need you to counsel me, because I'm about to walk into the bishopric. And the thing about it is, if I'm going to walk into a high office, I'll at least have some power walking in there. But if I'm walking in sin, guess what? Ain't no power going to be on my life. Y'all with me? So again, I say an ability to yield to God's appointed and delegated leadership speaks of being submissive and teachable. When God assigns apostolic men to the places where God moved God move had already begun. The local company of the believers must learn to yield to these sent men so that God can take the church further through them. Now, if you think about it, even in denominational churches and that kind of thing and stuff, there was always a voting. That they had to vote on what was going to take place.
Right, right.
Wait a minute. How in the world can we vote on what God has spoken? No, if God has talked to, I would preach for this guy. He went out of town, so he wanted me to go preach for him. So I preached about how God had placed the man of God in authority, and the deacons was under the man of God. And so there's nowhere in Scripture where God tells the deacons to override the pastor. And do you know that when that man got back in town, his deacons got together with him, say, look, I don't care who you get to take your place when you leave here, but don't bring that man back here. That man that took all our power. No, the Scripture. The Scripture, you never had the power. You just assumed you had the power. And the pastor couldn't tell you what to do because you felt like you were the one that was in authority. And so I want you to see something. This is caused a whole organizations, whole where God wanted to move so mighty and so miraculous, man, because of this spirit of rebellion and this spirit of lawlessness. It has watered down the gospel. It has watered down the move of God because men have not really allowed God to put men and women of God in their life, and then they submit to them. And I'm telling you, it is something that is killing a lot of the work of God. I'm talking about people who love God, good people. But the Bible says we perish for a lack of knowledge. And so if we don't have a knowledge about how the church is supposed to function and how God has established it and that sort of thing and stuff, then how the next generation is going to be able to move and be able to flow the way God wants them to flow and move? So There's got to be something that's got to happen to us in this generation so that we can all of the traditional ways, all of the man's philosophy about how things ought to be ran and that sort of thing and stuff. And understand that in Isaiah 9:7, it talks about the government shall be upon his shoulder. 9:6-7, and it's talking about a government. He's talking about a kingdom being established. He's talking about a government. Whenever there's a government instruction, things are in order, that's what calls peace. I don't care where you go. If you go to a nation and that governmental element is not in place, that's going to be war. That's not going to be no peace. But as soon as government is in place, peace comes. And so when we have real government set up in church, there's going to be peace. You're not going to have a whole bunch of mess in church. I don't know about y'all, but I came up to church. I mean, church folk almost ran me off. Because you go to church this Sunday, you know, they got this room out about you. You come the next Sunday, they got another room out. You understand what I'm saying? He's my God. What in the world? But then you get to a point to where you mature and you don't care about what they say.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You understand what I'm saying? Go ahead on. Say whatever kind of crazy stuff you want to say. What your crazy self. All right. We need to build a clear paradigm concerning covering and authority into the mind of breakthrough believers. All spiritual authority stems out of the senior pastor in the local church. Their delegated authority is a specific measure of authority within the sphere of responsibility and role function. When they are under spiritual authority, operating under delegated authority, they represent the man from whom they have received their commissioning to function in their leadership role. All right. Right now, what I'm doing right now, I am representing apostle. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not representing world shakers. I'm representing apostle. You with me? And so because I understand spiritual authority, excuse me, because I understand spiritual authority, I know that by me honoring apostle, I'm not taking nothing away from God. See, this is the lie that's been told the folk. They think that if you honor a person who God has placed in your life, that means that you're putting this person in a place with God. No, it's not. Right. You got to realize God is the one that put them in a place of authority. Right. And so God expects me to honor them. Right. Y'all with me?
Yes,
all right. So whenever I come to Word of Life, well, matter of fact, let me say it like this. Even when I'm at my church, I still represent apostle. Okay, all right. See, spiritual people, first thing spiritual folks don't say, I thought you would represent Christ. Well, you know I'm representing Christ. You understand what I'm saying? But if something go on in my church, apostle gonna give me a call. You let me do something crazy at church. You let me do something crazy in my church, I will get a phone call. Son, what you doing? This is not proper representation. Oh, shh. And see, and then I have to be able to make whatever shift I need to make, because in my life, he's the delegated authority. So I don't sit around talking about, well, I'm my own pastor. When I get to World Shakers, you know, hey, I'll make the call. No, if something going on and apostle don't agree with it, he going to call me on the carpet and I'm going to shut it down. Yes, hallelujah. And you don't have many people who will, because first thing they're going to say is this. Well, the Lord told me. Let me ask you a question. All right. Y'all husband and wife, right? Okay. Do you think God going to come and talk to your wife about going into a ministry, preaching the gospel, and don't talk to you? No. God's not going to do it. Why? Because God is the one that set up the order in the house. So God will be violating himself if he was to come and he say, look, I want you to preach. And then you say, baby, you preach what? The Lord ain't saying nothing to me. And you say, well, I got to preach. Well, I don't care what you say. But no. All of a sudden, the order that God has set for the home, you saying that God went against it now. And God doesn't do that. The same way, God is not going to go against your man or woman of God for something that you feel like God told you to do.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And see, the thing about it, oh, God, help me. This is the thing. One of the things that will help every pastor, every person who God has placed, you know, in a place of authority, is that people learn to hear the voice of God. See, if you ever learn to hear the voice of God, that makes a pastor job easy. But if you got these notions, you're not hearing God, but you got these notions because religion and tradition have trained your mind a certain way. And then all of a sudden, you're following whims and that kind of thing and stuff, and God ain't even talking to you, but you're convinced that this God. So what happens? Wind up getting an error. Wind up doing something God didn't tell you to do. Now watch this, y'all. The word covering is often associated with those who have authority over you. However, the beauty of covering is not about authority over us, but rather the protection over us. Boy, this is so powerful. Protection over us. So, it's just like, it's thundering and lightning, and you get an umbrella. It'll keep you dry. Y'all with me? A covering is a protection that keep you protected. Oh my God. We're talking about protected from. You'll be surprised that how a covering can keep you. I had a challenge once. And so I was in the hospital. And my wife called Apostle. It's been some years ago. And she called him. And so he came in there and he prayed for me and he left. But watch this, y'all. I knew that when I saw him come in the door, that everything that was going wrong had changed. All right, y'all, play with this if you want to. I'm telling you, by the time they finish doing all the diagnosis and doing all that kind of stuff, everything that they thought they saw, everything had changed. But watch this. It all depends on how I saw him. Because I saw him as my covering, then God could honor my faith that I had for the covering. Had me covered. God dog. See, this is what people look at. People look at, they think that, oh, you know, you making all this noise about a man, or you making this noise about a woman, or whatever stuff. No, this is about the order of God. This is about a covering of protection that God has provided for me, but I have to see them in the right light in order to benefit from the covering.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Apostle say this all the time. Apostle say that, I can really go to battle for you. You know, if you, you see me as your apostle. You see me as your covering. So I'm reading this again. The word covering is often associated with those who have authority over us. However, the beauty of covering is not about the authority over us, but rather the protection over us. Those who are our covering take the bullets for us. Let me tell you something. Before I started following Apostle, I told a man this the other day. Before I started following Apostle, you know, I was finishing concrete, that sort of thing. I was in ministry, and my old pastor who turned the church over to me, he told me, he said, go down to Darrow. You need to follow that man. We was in another organization, our church was. And so I came down and started following the apostle. The first thing that happened was my business went off the chain. First thing happened. Well, let me tell you how that happened. All right. I was pouring concrete for this construction company. And I was in the school of ministry. Let me go back up. I was in the school of ministry. We was down in Darrow. We was down there at the old church. And so, Pastor said they were going to pull a new building and stuff. So I was passing here. I was praying that I'd get the job. I was praying, Lord, let me get this job. Oh, praise the Lord. I want them. So it wasn't long, a contractor that I worked for called me and said, look, I need you to come in, got a job I want you to do, and that sort of thing and stuff. So come to find out, it was this church. And so I poured the foundation and everything, the parking lot and everything for the church. And when it came down to the parking lot, Apostle said, the Lord told me to give you the job. So now the contractor being cut out. Said, Lord told me to give you this job. Well, I had never handled farming up and all this and pouring, you know, this much concrete. So I said, wow, man, we do the job. But this was the first job that I did where I made $10,000 a week after I paid all my men off. There was the first $10,000 a week job that I had. And then from that point, it just started increasing. But it had something to do with the covering I had got under. All right. Somebody, you might say, well, I've been following an apostle, you know, and, you know, my business hadn't really. It all depends on, let me ask you this question. If apostle is your covering, what would he have to do to make you change your mind? Now, if he can do anything to make you change your mind, he really is not your covering. Because if God told you, there shouldn't be anything he can do to make you change your mind. You with me? See, a whole lot of folk flaky. A whole lot of folk talking about the Lord told me. And then as soon as things are not going the way they think they ought to go, they fabricate these new instructions from God. Well, the Lord told me my season up. No, the Lord didn't tell you your season up. You just got offended about something. You understand what I'm saying? See, there's some things that people say they follow, but they follow until something sticks in their craw. They feel like, hey, I don't know if this really the Lord or what. No. See, when you settle that God told you, when Elijah was following Elijah, the Bible says he was plowing. Elijah was plowing. And Elijah passed by and threw his mantle. But Elijah said, he said, hold on, let me go and do this. He said, what I got to do with it? In other words, he said, you need to make the decision between you and God, not between me and you. See, this is the thing. When spiritual authority is proper, it has to first be between you and God. If it's not between you and God, then anything between you and the person, there's going to always be something that's going to be able to break that up. But if it's between you and God, and you are corrected, or you are reprimanded, or you are sacked out or whatever, you know. See, I'm gonna give you a few instances here. All right, watch this. All right. Apostle got a strong personality, right? Before God told me to follow him, God already knew that. God already knew there's times apostle may go off on you. Well, God knew that before he called me to follow him. See, so it was not like if he go off on me, he caught God by surprise. God already knew that apostle, you fool around and make a wrong move, apostle will go off on you. And the thing about it is because he care about you. But if you're not properly connected with the Father, then okay. No, if you are connected properly with the Father, Holy Spirit gonna talk to you. Holy Spirit is gonna pull you in when you get your feelings all hurt. All this is a part of growing up. I'm talking about, oh, Lord, have mercy. Listen to me. I don't care if I'm corrected in a crowd. I don't care if I'm corrected privately. It don't make no difference. You understand what I'm saying? I don't want to follow nobody who's going to play with me. Oh, no. My life and what God has called me to do is too valuable to have somebody in my life that's going to be petting me. And talking about, oh, you know, it's going to be all right and that kind of thing. No. I need somebody in my life that if I'm going the wrong way, say, that ain't God. Right. That ain't the Lord. Set your behind down and you need to pray some more. Amen. That's why I got to have somebody in my life like that. Now, some people got to have somebody in their life who real soft and real gentle with them. If that's what I needed for my life, God would have gave me that. But God didn't give me that because he knew that's not what I needed. So I had to have somebody who's going to really jet the slack out of me. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then the thing about it is, understand that God really loved me, that he put me under this leadership because he had put somebody in my life that really loved me. And because of that, guess what? It's causing everything in my life to take off. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So those who are her covering take the bullets for us. Whole lot of things. See, apostle was preaching money, coming and stuff before I even came along. And a whole lot of the bullets people were shooting at him and stuff. And he, guess what? He didn't bail out and stuff. He kept doing what God told him to do. And guess what? When I started following him, he had took the bullets. Yep. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, people may say a little something about me here and there, you know, but guess what? Apostle took most of the hits. Yep. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Before I started following the apostle, wasn't nobody putting no money on no altar? All right. Okay. All right. Okay. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes people think that, and I'm telling you, as it relates to prosperity, where God wants us to be, and that kind of thing and stuff, apostle already done cut a path. A path always already been cut. You with me? And so, I don't have to go and recreate the wheel. You with me? So, they are attacked first because they are the hedge around our lives. Talking about the covering. They allow us to grow to our full potential while they face the onslaughts of the enemy. I'm telling you, many times, there's been times when apostle, you know, he say, I don't know what's going on, but this is what the Lord gave me. And this is what I've been praying for you about, and that kind of thing and stuff. I said, well, thank God I got somebody that's praying for me and that's already, you know, providing this hedge of protection for me. Isn't it somehow God? Let me say it like this. It's somehow God, in the wisdom that he has, how God knew how man was going to be. So God said, all right, if you're going to follow me, you have to follow man. Yes, sir. God said, all right, if you're going to follow me, because I'm not going to be there in the flesh, but I'm going to give you somebody in the flesh that you're gonna have to follow. And all that is a test to see whether you're really following God or not. Yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Yes, and so you could always see Christ in Apostle Paul as he was leading it. So it wasn't a danger for people to follow him in the same way it is with apostle. One thing that you can't do, you know, you go to apostle trying to build him up. Oh, man, you know, oh, that word was really a blessing. Apostle, that's the Holy Ghost. You know, you ain't going to do him that. No, he said, that's the Holy Ghost. That comes from the Lord. That ain't got nothing to do with that. When most folk looking for credit, he's just looking to give God glory. Let me give you the scripture before I go. Go to let me read this first. They cover us in prayer with their counsel, with their expertise, and with their faith. We need someone in our lives who will mentor and father us. Someone who will stand alongside us until we have come into our full potential and calling of God. Hallelujah. Now I'm repeating myself here. Because of tradition and stuff and the way that things that have been set up in the past is really, watch this, y'all. As soon as you really start following somebody, the first thing folk try to say, Jim Jones. Come on, y'all know I'm telling the truth. Oh, this Jim Jones. No. All you got to do is just check the principle in the Bible. See, Jim Jones had folk looking to him. Are y'all with me? But the thing about it is, see, that's what maturing is all about, getting people to walk on their own. Follow God. Learn how to follow. Learn how to hear the voice of God. Not trying to make the person who you follow in God. No. You have to learn how to follow the voice of God, how to hear the voice of God for yourself. What happened if a pastor go out of town and you got some kind of dilemma going on and Apostle, I'm not trying to get you to look to me. I'm trying to get you to look to God. That's what fathering is about. Watch this. We will always rise higher if someone believes in us and motivates us to reach for the highest. When we come under the authority of a person, we can then operate in the measure of his authority and represent that authority. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, that's sometimes, you know, I'm in the church and I'm ministering, and it feel like apostle riding on my back. I do. I know that the grace that's on his life. See, the apostle Paul was talking about how he was imparting grace on the other people's lives and that sort of thing and stuff. See, apostle is always imparting his grace. I'm a partaker of his grace. I'm a partaker of apostle's grace. Yes, I am. And so there's times when I'm functioning and I feel like apostle riding my back. I'm walking in that authority. You understand what I'm saying? Because I'm submitted to him. So if I'm submitted to him, guess what? God will allow me to walk in it to a greater dimension. Yeah, yes, he will. Yeah. So when a general summons five privates to accompany him to a restricted building, they have access into the building on the grounds of the general's statute and authority. They walk into that building covered by his authority and thus have access into what he has access to. When we are in Christ, we can operate in his authority and in his stature. In Luke 10 and 19 and 20, it says, behold, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice that your names are recorded. So, those who fail the test of submitting to the government of the kingdom will have their rebellious nature revealed under these authority structures. Nobody in the Bible has ever gotten away with rebellion. Nobody. I read them all. I found out that nobody, you can walk in rebellion and you will never escape the radar of God. God will always get you. Always, praise God. All right. That's it.